Can you feel the heat down in your soul?
I feel the heat down in my soul.
Can you see the heat there in control?
I see the heat there in control.
Can you feel it?
I feel it.
Can you see it?
I see it. It's Miami. We can be beat. It's Miami. It's Miami.
All right. Welcome to the episode number 18 of the Triple H Haha Hoops Podcast, Miami Heat Podcast. I'm your host, Ernest E.J. Christian, alongside David Ramil. David, what's going on?
Not much, Ernest. How are you doing?
I'm good. Heat Twitter is scared. Heat Twitter,
yes.
Once again, we thought we were over this last year with LeBron leaving, and okay, fine, he's gone. We can now focus the next year, 2-3 years of building around Wade and Bosh and stuff, and now Heat Twitter is, let's just say, panicking. And they're panicking because, according to the Miami Herald, Barry Jackson reported yesterday that Dwayne Wade and Miami Heat are actually far apart in negotiations in relating to his future Miami. As you know, Dwayne Wade right now has a player option on his contract. He could opt out in June. A lot of the talk was that if he would opt out, the idea was for him to opt out in the effort to create more flexibility for the franchise and also, you know, make more money in the process too. But it's not as easy as you think. As you know, Dwayne Wade has actually taken less twice already for this franchise. First in 2010, bringing in, of course, Bosh and LeBron to the fold, which results in obviously in the one, probably the greatest 4 years of my life of sports. And then, of course, last year, opted out in an effort to retain LeBron and retain flexibility, which didn't work out, you know, on a LeBron end, but it worked out in terms of flexibility in Miami Heat. A lot of the rumors now we're hearing is that Dwayne Wade would like to recoup some of that money, if not all the money he in the opt-outs in the effort to keep the Heat viable. And there's a lot of speculation that Miami Heat are worried about giving him a 3-year deal. What Wade is looking for, we're hearing, is a 3-year deal, a lucrative deal. There's no numbers released yet, but if he opts in this year, he's scheduled to make $16 million this season if he opts in for another season. So obviously we imagine he looks at himself as a max player still. He'd like to make about $20 million a year, probably, depending on, you know, his mindset. Let me ask you, David, first, your thoughts. Could we all speculated on the last podcast that there was more a chance he would opt out, but we were positive about it because of the fact that, okay, he opts out in an effort to create more room for the Heat to have flexibility going forward for guys like Whiteside next summer. You know, obviously Goran Dragic is due for a max deal this summer as well. So that was the assumption we had, but with this latest development we've got yesterday with of course Barry Jackson, Miami Herald, and this is still in the early stages. But what is your thoughts in the onset right now with all this?
It sucks. I mean, maybe that's putting it a little too succinctly, but you know, this was supposed to be a drama-free summer, relatively speaking, compared to what happened last year, where, you know, LeBron kept us at bay until, you know, mid to early July, and we weren't quite sure what was going to happen. And there was the 24-hour news feed following his every move, you know, when cars were packed and shipped to Ohio and planes were spotted in Miami International Airport, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, all of a sudden we're having a lot more drama than we expected. And I think Heat fans are a little jaded based on what happened last year, so that when we heard the report from Jackson, the immediate reaction was one extreme or the other. Either you had your most Heat fans, and particularly Wade fans, saying, well, pay the man what he wants and just let's get this done because I can't follow a team without Dwayne Wade on it. Or conversely, you have the other end of the spectrum where you think, you know what, he's going to handcuff the team. He's going to completely ruin any chances of title contention, and you don't want to be beholden to any one player like that. So if he wants to move on, then let him go to wherever he needs to go if he wants to find more money. So it's interesting how things have changed over the last few days. You know, again, like you just pointed out, we were optimistic that because he's made that sacrifice in the past, our assumption was that he'd be willing to do so again. And I think Ethan Skolnick tweeted it out, you know, the dangers of the Heat lifer campaign are coming to bite Pat Riley and the Heat franchise in the ass, because it's quite possible that the one person who embodied that spirit more than anybody else, maybe second to Udonis Haslam, might be looking for greener pastures elsewhere.
Yeah. And it's funny how we, you know, and I'm not going to sit in and criticize Miami Heat for what they do in the campaign. I thought, I personally thought the campaign was very corny last year. I mean, we were very on the record about that, all three of us, sure. You and Haley, on that. Very, I thought it was just like one of those, okay, I get the defiance of post-LeBron, I get all that.
Right.
But it's one thing to profess loyalty and Heat lifer and do for the team, but then the same idea of, you know, players ask, you know, who want to get paid what they should be paid and what they're worth or what they're owed, and there's some disruption there. You know, say what you want about LeBron James. Say what you want about LeBron, what he did. But, you know, a lot of speculation about LeBron leaving had to do with the fact that, you know, the idea of family and doing what's best for the franchise, but then, you know, Mickey Arison sort of cutting corners here. And by the way, I agreed with what he did here with Mike Miller, but the idea that he would amnesty Mike Miller to save money, which while I agreed because the production didn't match what he was being paid, at the same time, it left a bad taste. So I'm not saying that's why LeBron necessarily left, but there's been a lot of speculation as to why there was one of the influences about LeBron leaving here. You know, hearing double speaks, saying and hearing one thing and then doing another. And to me, the biggest risk here for Miami, look, as bad as it was for LeBron, as for the Heat fans, for LeBron to leave last year, and obviously we saw the results, there was bad residue all over. Because, granted, a lot of it played to injuries last season, of course. Had the Heat have been a lot healthier, had Bosch not had his health issues and, you know, all that, the Heat might be in the conference finals this year, or at least close to that, okay? But that didn't happen. Now we're in a situation now where, as bad as it was with LeBron leaving last year, I don't think people get this. If Dwayne Wade if Dwayne Wade actually follows these threats, this is worse than LeBron leaving. I don't think people get this. This goes beyond just losing best player, okay, recharge. No. This has a bad domino effect that could happen for the Heat. Because, and this is my opinion, if Wade leaves, let's say Wade actually did leave and actually these threats became actual absolutes, then this is what happens now. The Heat look really bad. It's a horrible PR move. Bad, bad PR for the Heat and Pat Riley. You might even lose Dragic.
Oh, I'd say you definitely lose Dragic. I don't think there's any debating that. I think the one thing keeping him here is obviously the opportunity to make money, but if he can make it elsewhere, partner up with another superstar. I don't think the combination of Dragic, if Luol Deng signs or re-signs, if he opts out, Bosch and Whiteside is enough to convince him to stay here. I mean, maybe it is. We don't know that for certain, but I think they showed a lot of chemistry between Wade and Dragic last season when the limited time they played. I think that was one thing that both of them had mentioned in their, you know, once the season ended. You know, wanting to partner up and make sure that they can continue to play together, because there was a good rapport there. So I have no doubt in my mind that Dragic moves on to other pastures as well. So there's no denying that there's a domino effect, but there's a domino effect one way or the other. If he resigns, and maybe we should get into this a little bit later, but if he resigns for the kind of money that theoretically or reportedly he wants, then that limits Miami in a number of ways, including the ability to resign Dragic.
It would actually put pressure on the Heat to pay. I don't think Miami. I still think Miami takes care of the situation. It's way early in the negotiations, and not only that, you know, this is also what agents do. They put leaks out there like this, you know, to test the waters to see how the reaction is.
Sure,
I'm sure the Miami Heat front office already knows this is not a popular thing. So I know for a fact that Pat Riley and company are using this next month between now and the time that you can opt out of your contracts, to get this, you know, an absolute to where these two core things out. Because I know for a fact the Heat know that this is a this could be catastrophic beyond any measures.
Okay.
It's not just Dwayne Wade. This affects the image of the Heat, and then now you have a situation where, if this is the case now, do other stars look at the Heat differently now moving forward? Say Kevin Durant wants to come here next year, or has interest coming down here next year, and this happens. This is a bad look.
Okay, but my question with that, there's a couple ways of looking at that, and I just thought of this right now as you're mentioning it, because it's a good point. I understand why agents would put out leaks like that, but it seems a little disadvantageous to do so, because it's not like we're talking a whole bunch of wiggle room here. I mean, he's making $16 million. Theoretically, if he had opted out, I mean, if he had opted in and then re-signed with Miami in 2016, he might have been able to command almost as much money. So let's say he could have gotten another 2 years and from 2016 through 2018 for roughly the same amount, $15 to $16 million.
Right.
Instead, now we're hearing numbers of close to $20 million. I mean, $4 million... I know that's a huge amount of money to us, but is it enough to jeopardize 12 years of playing in Miami for it? It doesn't seem like there's that much wiggle room to go through this process of leaking out this information just to force Miami's hand. Now, how about if you look at it from the flip side, though, where maybe the agent leaks this out and then Miami appears to have caved by giving Wade the 3-year deal that he's asking for, but it shores up the feeling around the league that Miami takes care of their own, and maybe that makes Miami a more appealing destination for future free agents. What if this is something in conjunction? What if Wade is working in conjunction with the Heat front office? Maybe this is a little too conspiratorial, conspiracy theorist.
I like where you're going, David. I like where you're going. I think Heat fans will say, let's hope this is actually a stunt.
Well, I mean, didn't that happen in 2010? I mean, I remember specifically I signed up to Twitter in 2010 specifically so I could keep track of that free agency summer, because that was the biggest thing. And, at the time it was the biggest thing ever, especially for the NBA. And wondering, what was going to happen. When he took that first meeting with Chicago, I thought, as I'm sure many Heat fans said, I thought, shit, this is it. This is the end of Dwayne Wade in Miami. When he took a second meeting, I really thought it was a done deal. The first meeting, I thought, well, maybe, this is he has to do his due diligence. But the second meeting really scared the crap out of me. I thought it was a done deal.
You're taking two meetings for a team. That's kind of like almost the icing on cake scenario, in a sense.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, but clearly it seems now, in retrospect, and even, immediately after the big free agency signings, he took those two meetings, I guess, as a scouting mission, perhaps, just to find out what they were promising. It seems like he was working in conjunction with the Heat and Pat Riley the whole time. I mean, he was luring Chris Bosh here. He knew what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. He was luring LeBron James. He knew what was going to happen. So it just seems interesting to think about maybe all these years later, despite what's happened with LeBron, despite what's happened elsewhere, that maybe he's working in conjunction with Pat Riley. And sure, that might be like something that we want to embrace because, the alternative is too scary to think about, but it's a possibility, I guess.
Okay, let's hope that your scenario is true. I'm sure, quote-unquote, Heat Nation. Come on, why did I even say that? I hope Heat Twitter. I just prefer Heat Twitter. As insane as Heat Twitter is, and they are insane people on that hashtag, they are.
Okay.
I prefer Heat Twitter.
So, should we play devil's advocate here and look at it from both perspectives? I mean, because again, those extremes I mentioned.
We're actually doing a hot and cold article right now in audio form. This is great.
Okay, so take it from that perspective then. Do you pay him whatever he wants? Let's say it's not in conjunction with Riley. Let's say this really is Riley trying to get his after sacrificing money last year, after sacrificing it 4 years ago, etc. Do you pay him $20 million and say, of course, this is our franchise cornerstone, even though you missed 20 games last year and 20 the year before that, and you're liable to miss even more next time around? You get everything you deserve because who you are and what you meant to this franchise.
I think you have to at least get close to that.
Okay.
And I also defended Kobe Bryant's deal to an extent when he got it in the step, because it was more than just basketball, it was business. The difference between Kobe and Dwayne is that their rosters are different rosters. Mm-hmm. There's a cumulative effect, you know, if Wade were to actually leave this franchise, it looks terrible. Like, it's one of those things where the Heat can't afford to fall back again after losing LeBron. But the Lakers is like, okay, the reason I defend Kobe's deal with the Lakers is because of the TV deal in place.
Sure.
And he's a big reason why he's probably the biggest reason why they get that the big TV deal, because he's still must-see TV.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I defended the deal initially. You know, obviously it was not a great basketball decision. If the TV deal was not in place, then yeah, obviously Kobe Bryant's deal is stupid.
Okay, but so it's not in place for Miami. Maybe people won't necessarily be opposed to watching, you know, Chris Bosh and perhaps Luol Deng and Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah, but the Lakers have a lot more clout still. The Lakers, because the Lakers' name is still the Lakers.
Right.
They can lose Kobe Bryant, weather that storm, because they're gonna be bad anyway, with or without him. It doesn't matter. They're going to be bad. Okay, with Dwayne Wade, this friend. Look, with Dwayne Wade, you have the opportunity to bring in people. Look, Dragic got here. He wants to stay here. Okay, you now run the higher risk of falling behind again with Dwayne Wade leaving, because, and not just because of Dwayne Wade. Like I said, it's because of other pieces and potential pieces down the road that may not come here.
I don't know. I see what you're saying, and I'm torn between it myself, because I want him to be a part of the team, and I think, you know, people are very torn, especially when it comes to sports. They always want players to be loyal to franchises, even when those same franchises don't necessarily show loyalty to the fans,
right,
and overcharge them, etc. And then even as a human being, I think everybody's tendency is to always get more money whenever it's available to them. But somehow we expect our athletes to represent a higher form of idealism than what they're capable of.
Which is what I find fascinating, and I tweeted this morning. It's funny you just said that. I've always found it fascinating that sports fans always side with management, but if ex-sports fan was athlete, they would feel differently about that.
No doubt. No doubt. Because we're talking about, you know, oh, why can't Mickey Arison pay me $4 million when we're talking about him being worth $4 billion? You know, and that's, you know, maybe that's an exaggeration, but, you know, he has the money to pay, and I'm sure Wade wants to collect as much as he possibly can throughout the course of his career. And some people have also conversely tweeted out that, you know, he's got that huge shoe deal in China. He's getting his money. He's gotten his money. He's been a highly paid player throughout his career. So maybe this seems a little bit extortive on his end, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's hard to judge somebody like that, because although I think that it's a lot more money than he actually needs, we would all probably do the same thing, given the same situation.
You know, people can't use their own personal situation to judge somebody else's. That's the problem I have here. You're not Dwayne Wade, so what are you to say what's enough for Dwayne Wade? You know, you can't use your way of life, you know, to assess somebody else's way of life because it's different from yours. You can't.
Sure.
I think people use, so, yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things where I think I always found it fascinating how people be obsessed with other folks' money. To me, that's the one thing that's always bothered me. Oh, here's enough money. Okay, and who are you? You know, that's not your money. Okay. If you're the guy and you don't want to get paid money, and I came to you and said, guess what? You don't earn that, you'd be pissed at me. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah.
It's not your money.
So judgments of money and whether or not it's too much or anything like that set aside. Then the other side of the deal is, if you pay him as much money as he deserves or asks, and we don't even know this. We don't even know that there's really a lucrative amount. It's a, you know, according to Barry Jackson, sources close to the situation, who knows who they could be, have confirmed that he wants a more lucrative 3-year deal, but we don't know the exact numbers. Nothing's come from Henry Thomas, Wade's agent. Nothing's come from Wade himself. So there hasn't been anything specific. We should probably point that out. But let's say they do pay him what we think he's asking for, which is somewhere in the vicinity of $20 million. How do you look on it as far as the impact to the team itself? Is that something worth going through? Because then the team might be hindered in their pursuit of a championship. Let's say you can pay, you know, you're going to pay Chris Bosh. You're going to pay Dwayne Wade $20 million. If you re-sign Dragic, let's say, you're going to pay him a lot more money, maybe even a little bit more than Dwayne Wade. And so all of a sudden, you've got $60 plus million in the books already just for these three players. If you know, if Deng doesn't opt out, that's $70-plus million. Then another $5 million for Josh McRoberts. You're talking about $80 million just on those five players.
I know. And that's what sucks.
And I think you pointed out as well that, you know, we're talking about the impact of the future. If you pay them that much money, then the opportunity to re-sign Hassan Whiteside, which, you know, you and I talked about last week, and I already told you I don't think he's coming back anyway, this just confirms it. This is the nail in the Hassan Whiteside coffin. There's no chance that he re-signs with Miami in 2016.
What I said, I thought he should look into it. If this is true, this could be something that may not even like a fact, but maybe a de-escalating contract? Take the hit early and get out of the way?
In what sense?
Okay, first of all, we need to get a number on this. What number is Wei looking for? You know, and total number. 60 million over 3 years? You know, 7 million over 3 years? Depends. Maybe a de-escalating contract will be the best way to deal with this.
Pay him $30 million next season, and then $15 million.
I'm not saying that. That's obviously extreme because that's even more what LeBron James is making. I'm sorry, Dwayne Wade is not worth LeBron James' money. He's not even a top 10 guy in the league anymore. So let's not even go there with that.
Isn't he? I mean, that's an interesting point. I mean, I know that's a whole other conversation there, but isn't he a top 10 guy anymore?
Availability counts. Availability counts. You got to be available in these games to cement that. To me, it means nothing if you're missing quarters.
Okay. But you're saying this, and there's no question if you make the same question about Kevin Durant, you say he's a top 10 guy, right?
Well, but Kevin Durant, that was the first season he's ever had problems like this. And so year, I'm not going to use the 1 year to erase the other 6 and 7 years he played.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not the point, though. I mean, we're talking about Dwayne Wade hasn't. He played 60-some games last year. He played 60-some the year before. We know that he's going to have some games that he's going to miss here and there. But let's say, you know, this 30-day weight loss program that he's on pays off. He hammers out the deal with Miami for whatever it's worth. And he plays 70-plus games next year. Do you still not say that he's a top 10 guy based if he can maintain the kind of production he did last year? I mean, you're only as good as your last contract. And if anything, with Durant's case, I think it's even trickier. We're talking about a guy with a foot injury. We've seen a number of players.
Yeah, but I'm willing to wait another year before we can actually say, okay, he's no longer a top 5 player in the league. I still think he'll go next year. I have number. People say, oh, Steph Curry number 2. No, slow down, dude. Kevin Durant is still talking about playing in the league behind LeBron James. Slow down. Just saying. You know,
I mean, it's an interesting question, though. I mean, I don't know if Wade's necessarily fallen that far out of the conversation yet.
Then we need to probably do some my podcast this summer and really assess who the 10 best players in the league are.
All right.
By the way, find out on iTunes, Earnest Speaking Podcast. By the way,
iTunes, nice plug.
Stitcher Radio. You still get it in there, man. But it is concerning when you throw those numbers at me. You throw numbers like that. Imagining, okay, Luol Deng opts in again, $10 million. Not 9.7, what the hell is it? $10 million. Chris Bosh, $22 million, somewhere in that ballpark. You know, let's say Wade gets $20 million he wants to get. $20 million to Wade. That's $70 million tied up right now in four guys. You know,
yep.
McRoberts' deal. And you still want to, Dragic, of course. You just said that. And then you still have Whiteside to worry about, too, after next year. So,
right. Well, I mean, if we're looking on at least for next year when Deng is still in the books and Whiteside's on a relatively cheap deal, it can work. Whiteside's on locked in for the next year anyway, relatively cheap. Deng, should he opt in, he's there for $10 million. So, I mean, it could work. But you're talking about the long-term viability, and you're going to commit 3 years to a guy who has had injury problems. It's just a very difficult question. It's almost like a lose-lose. You can't win here if you're Miami because, as you pointed out, the PR hit, the fact that you're going to look bad to future free agents, the fact that your franchise cornerstone, the face of your team, might play elsewhere. But at the same time, then you look at it from the other perspective, how can you overpay for a guy that might not even be available for 50-plus games next year? What if he gets even progressively worse? I mean, there's no chance that Wade's going to get better over the next 3 years. He's only going to continue to age. Injuries are only going to continue to keep taking a toll on him. it's a tough situation for them where you're kind of, you know, forcing their hand to pay him and overpay him because you know he's not going to be that kind of a value 3 years from now. I mean, I know his quote was that he feels like he still has another 3 good years left in him, but that's, I mean, what player is going to say, no, I'm planning on falling apart over the next 3 years?
Hey, guess what? I haven't played a look at NBA basketball, and I feel like I have another 3 years left in me. I mean, seriously. Boom, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I'd want to see a player say, yeah, you know, you're going to pay me for 20 points per game, but there's no chance I'm going to be able to do that. Next year, I'll probably be half that. And by the time the third year is done, I might not even be on the court, and you're probably paying me $20 million a year just for 4 points per game, 2 assists, and maybe a couple of rebounds here and there.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that there's a resolution? Because the thing is, lucrative deal. What is lucrative? I mean, to me, I think $60 million per season is lucrative enough as me.
That's hella lucrative. Yeah, I mean, I agree 100% there. But, I mean, that's the whole question, right? Maybe, and again, you know, we don't know. There's nothing specific being said by either party. Maybe he just wants to have the three-year deal locked in. You know, he didn't want this player option thing. Maybe he's not willing to wait to see.
I was just going to go there. I was saying maybe it isn't necessarily the money per year. I think it's just the security of having another two years on attached to his to a new deal.
Right. Because let's say he doesn't play 70 games next year, and let's say his production is a little bit off. Then it's 2016. You're looking to rebuild. You're looking to add a couple of big names here and there if the salary cap booms. You know, what's he going to do and come back and say, look, I know I only average 15 points per game, but I'm still worth $16 million? No, obviously not. So he can basically just say, look, I don't want to think about it anymore. I just want to get 3 years done. He's already hinted at the fact that he knows when he's planning on retiring. So, you know, I guess we can extrapolate even further that he's got another 3 years left and that's it. He's not going to play beyond 2018. So he just wants those three-year deal. And it is more lucrative if you look at it from that perspective if you get a three-year deal worth $45 million. I mean, that's a much more lucrative deal than he might be able to command if he gets 16 this year and then gets, say, 10 to 12 in the next 2 years after that.
It might be worth the Heat's while to just – if this is true, if all this we're hearing is actually – fact, 3 years, $45 million does not seem that bad to think about it when you consider the salary cap booming in you know next summer, and increasing the year after that. So $15-$45 may be a bargain.
Yeah, considering the situation right now. Because like you said, we don't know if more lucrative means more per year or if it just means more security and then much more lucrative in the long term because he's liable to get less than $45 million if he takes 16 this year and then signs another two-year deal after that. We don't know what he'd be worth in 2016 for 2 years. So it might be something. It might just be the nuances, the syntax of what words that Henry Thomas was quoted at by Barry Jackson, but we don't know exactly what the details are.
What if they do 44 million with the year number 4 being a player option?
Well, I mean, that's a tough one because I think if he's already tossed out that number of a 3 year deal, and again, this is all speculative on Barry Jackson's part, if it is a 3 year deal that we're looking at, Wade's been pretty adamant in saying that he's not gonna, you know, we talked about this last time. He's gonna play till he's done. He's not gonna be a Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson type who's gonna come back and forth and retire and unretire. When he's done, he's gonna walk away, he's accomplished what he needs to. I think if he's saying he's going to play for 3 years, he's going to be done in 3 years. He doesn't want a fourth year. I don't think he wants to even entertain that notion at this point. So I mean, he's got so many interests away from the court. He's got a family. He's got a wife, et cetera. I think he's fine. I think he's going to be one of the few guys that is willing to and able to walk away from the game and feel satisfied in having done so. So he's got another 3 years left one way or the other.
And being the bachelor to the league for the Heat after his playing days. I don't think Wade also wants to stain his reputation in Miami moving forward because I think he knows that he has a place with his franchise beyond his playing days. So I think that's something that is important to him as well.
You know, it's interesting because hearing you say that, I was reminded of the fact that Riley is an anomaly. He's as anachronistic as you could possibly get when it comes to dealings with players, the media, etc. And so he doesn't like playing hardball. He doesn't like being put into a corner by anybody, especially not when it happened last season, you know, with LeBron James. No hidden agendas, smiling faces kind of thing. So he was willing to let Alonzo Mourning walk. He was willing to let Tim Hardaway walk. And those were guys that were, if not as beloved as Dwayne Wade, they were pretty close. They were a part of building the team for the very first time. Look, I mean, you have to think about what happened when he first came on board. His first action as team president was to trade away Glenn Rice, who was the face of the franchise up to that point. I mean, he's not unwilling, let's say, to do the hard move. And if maybe he feels that it's in the long-term interest of the team and Mickey Arison and the organization to let Dwayne Wade walk, it's not above him to do so. I don't think it's past his
but that to but say, as I said, I go back to that decision would have dire consequences moving forward. Because if that happens, then you're looking at possibly, like I said, I don't need to repeat again. But Dragic could go,
right.
And future free agents may want to come here because of that. I'm just saying.
You're right. It's a gamble, and Riley's a gambling man, and so, you know, he put all of his chips in leading up to 2010. It paid off. Whether or not there was collusion or not, we don't know, but he certainly has been a gambling man in the past, and maybe he's willing to do so again. I don't know. I mean, my feeling is that it's going to be resolved, and hopefully relatively quickly. I mean, we've got a month here. He has to either opt in or out by the end of the month. From that point forward, if he does opt in, then we know he's fine with the deal, and he'll probably take less money next year. Chances are, if they're already leaking out this information, maybe it is just to kind of, you know, Wade has to, you know, to go back to what I was saying before as far as the conspiracy theory is concerned, you know, there's a lot of ego involved in the NBA, as you well know. There's a status symbol attached to whoever gets paid more from a team-to-team basis, and maybe this is just his way of saying to the rest of the league, hey, I'm still a force to be reckoned with. I can still control negotiations here in Miami as opposed to just being a puppet or an extension of the team. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the leak on behalf of his, you know, on behalf of Wade from his agent may have been the way of saying, you know, look, Wade can still exercise some control. He can still force Miami to do whatever he wants so that it always looks like the player has much more control. It's not about the organization. It's not about him being I don't know, just a puppet of Pat Riley's or anything like that. So, I mean, it could all be just something that'll smooth over eventually and just letting everybody know, look, I can still command a lot of money. I still get what I want. It's not about just what the team wants, even though I've given up money in the past. I know how to get mine, and I can do it here my way with my team. It's a possibility.
And you thought it would have been a boring summer.
And you thought we were just going to talk draft, you know?
NBA draft, lock up Dragic, see where Dang goes, and let's move forward. Now the franchise player may be off the door. Maybe not. I don't know. Well, stay tuned. Stay tuned. HotHoops.com. We're going to have all the updates, of course, and we'll keep doing podcasts. Hey, look, Dwayne Wade's giving me something to talk about now, you know, on my radio show, on this podcast, and something to write about. So, you know, Miami Heat timing isn't that boring. As we thought, at least the summer.
Absolutely.
Anyway. So we have another summer of watching another franchise player make a decision. And like I said, next month will be very, very interesting to see how this turns out. I think Wade and the Heat will come to an agreement. I'm actually very confident about that, to be honest with you, and I'm sure you are too, right?
I am.
Yeah. So I would caution. I'll say with caution, obviously, because we all thought LeBron was there. Well, let's not go there.
should we even entertain what would happen if, let's say that the reports are true and he is willing to move on from Miami? Should we even bother looking at potential destinations for Dwayne Wade?
Cleveland's one. Chicago could.
Well,
be one.
Then it wouldn't be about money, right? It wouldn't be about money. Can Cleveland afford to pay him that kind of money? Are you saying that they're not going to go after Kevin Love and they're going to keep, you know, they can't have Kevin Love?
I think Love is done there. If not this summer, then certainly next summer.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. My thing with Kevin Love is he won't be there. He will not be there extended period of time. So
what happens? Let's say Jimmy Butler leaves Chicago. Does Dwayne Wade finally go home?
That was my next point. If Jimmy Butler leaves Chicago, maybe intriguing. Thibodeau's not there anymore, so you won't have a grind of a coach to deal with. That seems very intriguing. Although I don't think a Derrick Rose and D Wade backcourt would necessarily be a good fit.
No, you're right.
No, I don't think that'd be a good fit. I don't see much fits for Wade outside of Miami and maybe Cleveland. I really don't. And even Cleveland, Cleveland's a stretch because you got Kyrie.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's tough, isn't it? I mean, it could all be posturing on behalf of the agent. Like I said, you know, maybe it's all just for show to prove that there's still something to Dwayne Wade and his ability to control the situation and control the negotiations in his favor. You know, you look around the team, I don't know a lot of people who are going to be willing to pay more than $16 million a year for a 33-year-old player with degenerative knee conditions that's still an effective all-star type player. I mean, let's not take away from the fact that he's still a very effective player, but I don't know that even teams with a lot of cap space, and why would they be any more appealing than Miami? Let's say a Sacramento or another team with some cap space, are they really going to be willing to pay $20 million a year for Dwayne Wade to go there during the last 3 years of his career?
Go there, so why would he even bother? Sacramento? Right. Dwayne Wade in Sacramento? Really?
I mean, where else, right? I mean, who else has the kind of cap space? You're talking about a team would have to lose a vital part of what makes them an alluring destination in the first place. So it could, the more you look at it, the more it just seems like posturing, the more it seems like it's just, you know, all for show. And then the reality is it's all going to smooth out very quickly. But of course there's always the fear. And look, when I first broke yesterday, I mean, we talked about it. It was a concern. You know, you look at it and you think to yourself, Jesus, you know, we just went through this experience with LeBron. Also, Dwayne Wade's threatening to leave here. I mean, that's a scary proposition. But the more you think about it, you go, you know, where's he going to go? Who's gonna hire a 33-year-old Dwayne Wade for $20 million a year? It just doesn't seem likely.
Exactly. Before we go, predictions on the finals. It's Warriors and it's Cavs. Steph versus LeBron, you know. Fun series ahead, and we got like a whole week before that series starts. So quickly, give me a prediction for the series. I think you have Golden State to win this, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer there. My thing is whether or not it's Warriors in five or Warriors in six, to be honest with you. As great as LeBron has been, and you know that's a sore subject for us, or for me in particular, I just don't know that, you know, Golden State, as deep as they are, as capable as they are, they're a much stronger defensive team than any Cleveland has faced in the Eastern Conference. And I think the injury situation is going to catch up, unless you continue to get the kind of production from Dellavedova and Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith, et cetera. Unless you can continue to get that. And I don't see why. When you look at Golden State's depth, I mean, they're going to be able to eliminate the effectiveness of Cleveland's bench and role players. So you have to give Golden State the nod there. They're just too good, too deep, and playing at such a high level at this point.
Yeah, and you got a band of Kyrie, too. That's kind of important. You know, I would never bet against LeBron, but this would be his biggest challenge in all the finals he's ever played in, even last year in San Antonio. I just think Golden State, I just think this is their time, you know. In the case of Cleveland, I just think, you know, they've done a great job. But if you look at I'm really surprised a lot of people are picking the Cavs win the series. I'm really surprised.
Oh, I didn't know a lot of people were. I thought maybe some people were, but I would have said it was overwhelmingly in favor of Golden State.
A lot of people are giving the Cavs a really good chance to win the series, and it's all based on what they've seen LeBron. Which, by the way, can we say, before we get going, this whole narrative about LeBron James, about, oh, he's the best he's ever played. Can we stop that for a second? Seriously? And this is not a knock on LeBron. LeBron is playing phenomenal basketball right now, okay? But, you know, I find it funny when the last two seasons in Miami, he was shooting at a historic rate. Historic. I mean, history, folks. History. You know, not just like 2 year sample size or whatever. It's about NBA history. And everyone would ignore that. Everyone would ignore all that stuff, all those analytics. But you know, you see LeBron stuffing the stat sheet, of course, having a great postseason, obviously. But he's not the same official LeBron James we saw in Miami. Now, granted, obviously, a lot of the fact that Kevin Love's not here and Kyrie Irving's been banged up the entire postseason pretty much, plays into that. But I just don't like this easy narrative now, like, because we like the storyline. Oh, he's back home in Cleveland. Yay. So we'll ignore everything else. Because LeBron was doing this 2 years ago, and you guys didn't give a damn about that. Just saying.
So would you say, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I can't confirm or deny one way or the other, isn't he being more productive this offseason than he was in the past? Maybe not as efficient, but more productive overall, just because he has to
by necessity, because of the fact he doesn't have, you know, healthy Kyrie, healthy Love on the court with him. You know what I mean? Obviously Dwayne, we can't say LeBron carried the Heat, because obviously Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, you know, did a lot to help him out in the playoffs.
Ray Allen, et cetera.
Yeah, this proves it. This proves it right here, you know? And this idea that, oh, he's the best now he's ever been. No, he's not the best he's ever been. He's the same guy. When do you ever hear LeBron James having to put up 37 shots to score 38? He scored 40 shooting less than 20 shots a game in Miami.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. It is interesting. And I think people are just more positive and receptive about everything he does right now because of the narrative of him going back to Cleveland, etc.
That's why we're at home. I'm going to throw you one number real quick, one big number here that it boggles my mind that people don't get this. Last year in the postseason last year in Miami, he shot 40% from three last year. Care to guess what he's shooting from three right now, currently?
20%?
Nope.
Less or more?
Less. 17%.
It's pretty bad.
Dwayne Wade is the worst shooter in NBA history by virtue of the numbers based on volume, okay?
23%, right? Isn't he a 23% shooter?
A little higher than that. 29%, I heard, was the number I think I heard on the radio this week. And not even Dwayne Wade is as bad as LeBron is this postseason from three. Just saying. And I know you have Cavalier fans. Oh, well, you know, people are a shooter. Not the point. You know, it's not the point. So, I'm just saying. He's the same LeBron he's been for the last 4 or 5 years. Oh, he's the best player in the world. Dude, he's been the best player for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You like
That's a whole other story.
You like the storyline. That's why. Come on. Admit it. And that's my rant for the day. I'm done.
No, it's fine, but you sound a little bit too pro LeBron for our audience. I think we may have lost most of our audience on that rant right there.
Wait, that was pro LeBron?
Yeah, a little bit. I think.
No, that was pro common sense.
Oh well, who has that? Common sense is anything but common. You know that.
I'm out of here. I'm done. Next podcast. Follow Dave Ramil on Twitter at DRamil13. Right.
That's correct.
And me, EJ Chris number 7. Till the next one, guys. Take care.